Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's wonderful to be here tonight, and we're going to be going into a time of singing and worshiping the Lord in just a moment. But before we do that, I do want to make one quick announcement. The CD project we've been working on, Victory in Jesus, we did a lot of recording on it, and it took a while, but it's done. I designed the cover today. And we're all set to make copies of it, so we plan to have those available on Sunday for pickup for anyone who would like one, but it is done, praise the Lord, and I'm very excited about that. Glory to God. Well, we are going to be singing for a while, but before we get into that, we do need to pray, so I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us secure again tonight to sing thy praises, to worship thee. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us this place where we can be in thy presence, where we can serve thee and worship thee and give thee our hearts. I pray, Lord, that thou hast presided over this entire service. I pray, Lord, that thy spirit would have free course. I pray, Lord, that thy perfect will would be done as we sing unto thee and as we give thee our hearts. I pray that all would be done according to thy purpose and thy will. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we start with number 15? I know we start with this one a lot, but it's such a wonderful song to start with. Number 15, The Windows of Heaven Are Open.
The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven open, the Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open, the Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
So thankful tonight that we know the Lord, and we know the only true, the only wise God. There is only one God. Why don't we go to number 7 in the chorus book and sing The Only Wise God. Number 7.
To the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever. unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So it's such a wonderful thought. You know, when we do get to heaven, we will be able to praise and worship our Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Why don't we go to number 169 and sing, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. Of the mercies of the Lord forever, I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. Will I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. Of the mercies of the Lord forever, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, it's really amazing that psalm, it shows great faith. In that psalm, the psalmist was acknowledging that he would spend eternity with his Lord. He believed that by faith. Praise the Lord. And it is a wonderful thing. And it's also a wonderful thing to know that we have victory through the name of the Lord Jesus because of the victory that He won for us on the cross. Why don't we go to number 77 and sing, In the Name of Jesus, We Have the Victory. In the name of Jesus, in the
name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory.
God, but why don't we go to number 89 and sing, God Can Do Anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. we go to number 34 and sing How Great Is Our God. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. God. And He is forever the same. He doesn't change. And that is such a wonderful thing to know. We don't serve some wishy-washy God. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, forever. So why don't we open our hymnals, our melodies of praise hymnals, and go to number 290 and sing Yesterday, Today, Forever. How sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still He loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to His name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. He who was the friend of sinners seeks the lost one now. Sinner, come and at His footstool penitently bow. He who said, I'll not condemn thee, go and sin no more, speaks to thee that word of pardon as in days of yore. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Oft on earth He healed the sufferer by His mighty hand. Still our sicknesses and sorrows go at His command. He who gave His healing virtue to a woman's touch,
to the faith that claims its fullness still will give it much. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. As of old He walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's way He walketh ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold Him, hasten Lord the day, but 'twill still be this same Jesus as He went away.
So thankful that we serve a Savior who doesn't change. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy blessings, for Thy love and Thy care towards us, for Thy sustaining power and Thy mercy and grace. We know, O God, that we would be completely helpless and lost without Thee, and we thank Thee for all that Thou hast given us. And I pray, Lord, that Thou hast given us the wisdom we need and how these funds should be used, for we know that these funds belong to Thee, our King and our mighty Savior. And I ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song, and I never sang this one before, but I know Mom knows it, because when we were recording the CD, I think we recorded this one probably 6 or 7 times, and we never sang it here before that I know of, but I'd like to give it a try. It doesn't have to be perfect. Praise the Lord. We're just going to make a joyful noise, but it's number 17. I would not be denied. Number 17.
breathed on my soul. Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. As Jacob in the days of old.
God. And that is a wonderful song. I know perhaps the rest of you may have never even heard it, but like I said, we recorded that one 6 or 7 times, and I tell you what, it was worth it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to turn it over to Shirley in just a minute, but we do have one prayer request that we're going to take care of before we do that. Shirley Ray Horst would like prayer for safety and protection from severe storms. I believe she lives in Oklahoma, so it's no wonder that there's severe storms down there. It seems like there always is every spring and every summer, a lot of tornadoes and so forth. So we're going to pray for her right now for protection. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night for our dear sister Shirley, praying, O God, that thou wast watch over her and look out for her and keep her safe and protected from these storms. I pray, Lord, that these storms would not come nigh unto her, and that they would cause no damage to her or her family. But we ask, O God, for thy protection, for thy mighty hand. For we know that thou art our mighty God, and that there's nothing too hard for thee. We know that thou art the voice that calmed the mighty waves of that storm. And we know, O God, that thy voice can calm any storm. And we pray, O God, that thou wast watch out for our sister Shirley. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, with that thought in mind, we'll turn things over to Shirley for our Bible study. And I'll just leave this CD up here. Mom hasn't seen it yet. She's probably curious about what it looks like. Praise the
Praise the Lord. There is victory in Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. It's just, it was really good to sing all those positive songs tonight. You know, we have something to sing about that most others don't even begin to know, and to know that we know the living God, and you know, our worship doesn't end here on this earth. We just get a trace of it here. And how glorious it is when the presence of the Lord comes down and we begin to feel Him and know that He's right here with us. But yes, someday we will truly be in His presence and see Him face to face. And oh boy, we're going to be so glad that we just persisted here on earth, that we didn't give up halfway and, you know, and forget our God and go do the things that most people do. But it's going to be so wonderful if we can just continue with the Lord and have faith. Faith that pleases God, faith that moves mountain, faith that is not hindered. And I believe by the grace of God, He could give us that faith. I know it comes from Him. It comes from Him. And I know how that is. Times when you know you might be downcast. And I believe we're going to go into some of those things tonight. And all at once, you feel this surge of faith. You know who it is. You know that's God that's come to your heart. And you know He begins to breathe in us and give us encouragement and put His word down there. And what a difference it makes. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have the Lord. We are just so privileged above all people. That's right, when the storms of life come, we can trust in the Lord and know that He knows how to take care of us, no matter what. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's just pray here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, that we can know You here tonight, Lord. We can open up Your word. Oh God, we can sing Your praises. God, we have something to sing about. We've got something to rejoice in, Lord. We've got something to shout about. Oh God, You've made us glad, Lord. And You've answered our cries. And You've talked to our hearts. And oh God, we've had so much from Thee, Lord. Oh God, You know the answer to every dilemma and every problem. Oh Lord, there's nothing too hard for You. For all things are possible to them that believe. And God, I just pray that You work in our hearts here tonight. God, I pray that You give us faith, oh Lord, that faith that we need to do Your work. Oh God, to endure until the end. Oh God, to move mountains. Oh God, to believe You for the things that are unseen. Oh God, I pray that You grant it to us tonight, Lord, that You bind every thing that would oppose Thee, Lord. Oh God, everything that is contrary to Your word. Oh God, we just bring it all to You in Jesus' name, asking that You would work, oh God, in our hearts. Oh God, those that are online, God, those that are sitting here, God, those that were listening to this recording, God, I pray that You would work in our hearts, oh God, for all our needs. But we bring them before Thee, Lord, knowing that Thou carest and Thou knowest how to answer, Lord, and that there is nothing too hard for Thee, Lord. And God, that You are the same God that walked the shores of Galilee. And we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in You, Jesus. I pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name that You'd work tonight, God. O Lord, let the strong man be bound and everything, O Lord, they would try to hinder. O Lord, let Your word flow, O God, for without You we can do nothing, Lord. We come to You in Jesus' name and ask for Thy strength and Thy help and Thy ability in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message Faith That Pleases God. Faith That Pleases God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just turn here to a very familiar passage to begin with, Hebrews 11th chapter, and we'll read a bit of this. I don't think go into the whole chapter, but let's begin it here for a minute. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We could go on this chapter, and we know that it's, the whole chapter talks about faith and men and women that walked with God and pleased God because they had faith. Praise the Lord. And you know, we know that we have to have faith to come to God. If he didn't put something in our heart, we wouldn't even begin to come to him. And we thank God for that. But we know as we walk with God, we've got to continue in faith. It's not something, you know, that we just need at one moment. But we need it constantly. We're always going through situations. And, you know, faith is that victory that overcometh the world. And without it, oh wow, there'd just be no way. It just says it here so clearly. We could not please God. There's no way. We couldn't come to him. We couldn't please him. There, you know, there would be nothing we could do to obtain eternal life without faith. And we are blessed here tonight. If God has put faith in our heart, it's a tremendous blessing. Because even as the scripture says, all men have not faith. It's not in everybody's heart. And yet somehow the Lord gave us this very, very special blessing that we could believe him and believe him in the spite of obstacles, in spite of problems, in spite of issues, in spite of things that seem impossible. We can believe God. And that's a wonderful thing. There's nothing too hard for him. And praise the Lord, the more we see him do, I believe it helps our faith to grow. You know, if you don't exercise faith, then, you know, you're not going to see anything happen. But praise the Lord, it's obstacles, it's hardships. It's things like that make our faith to grow. And how wonderful it is. Because we surely need it without, any question at all. And that's what the men of old, that's what the women of old had in their heart if they pleased God. It was that substance called faith. Praise the Lord. You know, something that you can't see, but you can see faith in action. Because if there's faith in the heart, you're going to see something moving because of it. There's going to be action because there's faith in the way we talk and in the things we do. What's deep in our heart is all going to be because of faith. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 116 here. And here the psalmist, whoever it was delivered from death. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've ever been really sick and called upon the Lord and cried out to him. Oh, what a moment that is. But what a wonderful thing it is when he delivers us and sets us free and gives us hope and another opportunity. Praise the Lord. Let's read some of this here. Psalms 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And then here's the situation. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And we are so privileged here tonight. We know the name of the Lord. You know, we sang that song, who can stand against us when we call in that great name? You know, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's the name that is above all names. And there is great victory in that name. But here the writer of this psalm is talking about a very hard moment, obviously, in his life. And obviously, whatever it was, it might have seemed hopeless at that moment. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me. And I'm going to guess that he really was, you know, not really fully prepared to die. And probably there were a lot of things that, you know, he wanted to do yet in his endeavors. And it seems like it probably was untimely from, you know, what I maybe might surmise here. But anyway, it was upon him. It was upon him. The sorrows of death compassed me. It was overwhelmed. It enclosed him. It surrounded him. It seemed unavoidable, obviously. It says, the pains of hell got hold upon me. Of course, hell here is the word Sheol, or Hades, and also could be interpreted the grave. It's another interpretation, or the world of the dead. And he knew, obviously, that or figured he didn't have that much time left in this world. He talks about, I found trouble and sorrow. So obviously some very, very, very hard moments in this writer's life. But praise the Lord, there was hope. Because something came to him. I'm going to call that faith. Something came to him. He began to call upon the Lord, he tells us. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Oh, yes, there was a cry. They came from the inner being. And I'm sure it was with all the heart. It wasn't, you know, a feeble few little words. But I believe with every bit of strength that he had, this writer was calling out upon the name of the Lord and beseeching, begging, imploring, petitioning Almighty God to deliver his soul. And it says in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Yes, because as he cried out, God heard him. God heard him. And it tells us in verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. Oh yes, that person who has humility, that person who is lowly in his or her thinking, who innocent. I was brought low, and he helped me. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, nobody likes to get down to those moments when everything is overwhelming, and you know, you just are struggling so hard, and it's such a moment where you don't know what's going to happen next, and there's all these uncertainties, and in this case, even fighting death. Nobody likes to go through that. But praise the Lord. This individual found something deeper because of it. As he cried out unto the Lord, the Lord heard those cries. Oh yes, he was brought low. And sometimes God takes a person to those low spots so that they will cry out. Sometimes that's what it takes. Because if everything was going smooth, everything was right, there'd be no cry. They came from the heart. They would just keep on living in their sin and contrariness and not cry out to the Lord. But it's the mercy of the Lord that brings a person to repentance, isn't it? It's his goodness that brings that person to himself. And praise the Lord, he says, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Oh, praise the Lord. So then he could say, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Oh, stop that worry. Stop that turmoil. Oh, it's all going to be all right. Turn unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And the praises that came up from the heart because he had been brought low. But then he saw the hand of the Lord reach down. Oh, that pit where he was, so to speak, and bring him up out of it, delivering his soul from death. As it tells us here in verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Oh yes, you can just about feel this as, you know, he felt his soul slipping down into the abyss, so to speak. And, you know, it was overwhelming. It was horrendous. It was hard to bear. It was, you know, something terrible that had come upon him. But God picked him up. God delivered him. God saved him. And so verse 9 declares, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Oh yes, his strength had returned unto him. His health, his abilities had returned. And he could say, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then verse 10, and this verse really stood out to me as I was studying, actually several days ago, maybe even a week ago, I was reading the psalm, and this 10th verse said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. And you know, there is something about it. The thing that made the difference here was faith. Faith that came into his heart, and all at once he could feel that possibilities that God would pick him up and save him and spare him. Faith came to him and he could declare it. He could speak it. And that's true about faith. When we really have it in our heart, it's going to show. Faith without works is dead, being alone. And, you know, we show our faith by our works. There's something that's obvious. It's a substance that, you know, we can't see with our eyes, but it's something that we can believe in our heart. And praise the Lord, I believe this writer had that surge of faith that came to him, and he's there declared, therefore I believed, therefore have I spoken. Oh, I was greatly afflicted. Oh, yes. And he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. You see, maybe there were declarations that were made, as is common these days, you know, when a person gets low, and, you know, it's not only maybe an individual's faith that begins to fade, but, you know, sometimes people put you in the grave before you're dead. You know, they start talking about, you know, this and that, and how it's going to be, you know, after you're gone, and making plans, and, you know, you're still breathing, and, you know, I know it happens. and yet it tells me here, he said, under my haste, all men are liars. I believe there were verdicts all around him and people making declarations. But you know what? Faith came into his heart. He wasn't going to go along with that. You know, instead, he was going to believe in God and let faith take over. And praise the Lord, faith did take over in this situation, in this case. Praise the Lord, faith did save him. And, you know, he could declare all men are liars. Oh, he wasn't going to go along with the flow and with their declarations, their hopeless, you know, words that they might have uttered through their mouths. Praise the Lord. And there's something about faith that touches the heart of God. Oh, yes, we can't please him without it at all. But, you know, when we show faith, when we talk faith, when we walk faith, oh, God sees it. God hears it. And what a wonderful thing it is. It touches the heart of God. Praise the Lord. You know, as we just maybe read the rest of this chapter, after the Lord had spared him, he knew he wanted to give God back something. He had wanted to render thanksgiving unto the Lord. He wanted to show his appreciation for the deliverance, the mighty deliverance that he had had from death. So he asks here in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I've got to give something back. So he said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And you know, if we look over at the 118th Psalm, it's just across the page in my Bible. But there's a couple verses here that I think go along with this whole story very well, verse 17 and 18, where it declares, I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord had chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Oh yes, God does chasten those that he loves. You know, there are moments when, oh my, in order to save us, to spare us the damnation of hell, he has to utter some chastening. And obviously it happened to the psalmist. But he lived to declare the praises of the Lord. He lived to be able to pay his vows unto the Lord. And he could say, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Oh yes, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Oh, the wonderful praises that can come from God's people. And there's not anything like, oh, the ability to praise the Lord, to worship him, to feel his presence come down. Oh, what a wonderful blessing it is that we can praise the Lord in the land of the living. So then it says in verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosened my bonds. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know that that is a gift that the Lord gives us, that he would loosen those bonds of sin. Oh, yes, that hold people in a death grip. Oh, the devil doesn't want to release his people. Oh, yes, he wants to get them in a place where, you know, it's hopeless. And they can't see any way of getting out of his paw, so to speak. But the Lord knows how to deliver to the uttermost. Oh yes, he knows how to loosen the bonds. All the things that hold people in captivity. The things that seek to destroy their souls. And here, the psalmist could say, thou hast loosened my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Oh yes, God had done some wonderful things for him. And he wanted everyone to know. He wanted to be able to praise the Lord, to pay his vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Oh yes, it comes out of our mouth when God has done great things for us. We want to share it. We want to tell it. It's a testimony of his goodness and of his grace. And so the psalmist wanted the world to know, so to speak. He wanted all that were in the courts of the Lord's house to know what God had done, how he had been spared, how he had been saved and delivered from death. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to put your hope and faith in the Lord. Praise the Lord. But as I said earlier, faith does touch the heart of God. And if we go to the New Testament now, we can see how God, in the form of man, the Lord Jesus Christ, reacted to faith. I'm just going to give a few examples here. If we can turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter. There's a couple examples here I'd like you all to see here tonight. I know we all need faith, and we know in this time period that we live that it's a thing that's tremendously hindered. You know how Jesus himself asked in the 18th chapter of Luke, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith upon the earth? And right now, I see faith being tremendously hindered. Oh, it doesn't seem like we see the outpouring of miracles that we need to see. It doesn't seem like we see the salvation of souls like we need to see and the deliverances that we need to see. It seems that faith is tremendously hindered. But yet, Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same as the God that walked the shores of Galilee and did all manners of wonderful works. And praise the Lord, if we can just grab onto that kind of faith. We can just have that faith as a grain of a mustard seed. He said we could say to yonder mountain, be thou removed, and it would be removed. Amen. And he's the same. Praise the Lord. Here in Matthew 8, it tells us, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean, or excuse me, was cleansed. It was cleansed. Praise the Lord. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. See, there was some aftermath and something that he needed to do to show his thanksgiving. Just as the writer there in Psalms 116 was expressing the need to pay his vows and to give thanksgiving unto the Lord. But praise the Lord, that leper showed his faith, didn't he? He came to Jesus with faith. His words showed that he had faith. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And besides, just by coming there, he was showing faith. I think just by coming to church, this is a show of faith. By raising our hands in worship, we're showing faith. You know, by crying out to the Lord, we're showing faith. And how we need it. Oh, you know, if we're sick, we call for the elders of the church to pray on our behalf, we're showing faith. And this leper showed his faith. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and he touched him. And he said, I will. There was no reluctancy on the part of Jesus to heal him at all. I will. Be thou clean. And it tells us, you know, it wasn't days and days afterwards, but it says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord did a mighty work for that leper, or that former leper. And then it goes on to tell us another story here in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Oh, yes, this man was desperate. He was beseeching him. He was crying out with all his heart. And, you know, I see that as a factor. Again and again, you know, it's not people half-heartedly going after God. Saying, maybe you could do this, Lord. I sort of think I'd kind of like you to do it. You know, it's more than that. It's, you know, there's, you can see the thing coming from the heart. You know, the desire, the need. It's bursting forth. It's right there. And they're doing whatever they have to do to be whole, or the other person that they're coming on behalf of. So here comes the centurion, and he's a man of authority. But he was desperate. He's beseeching the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of a palsy, grievously tormented. And wow, it shows us a lot here. He maybe wasn't at death's door at the moment, but he was tormented. He was not in a good way. And obviously, this centurion loved this man, and he cared for him so much that he would come beseeching the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. His immediate response. He saw faith in this man. But the centurion goes on. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And it tells us when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. this centurion, this Roman, was showing faith. And not only that, he had some understanding here. He realized the authority that was in Jesus Christ, obviously, because, you know, he's speaking to him with the understanding that he has as a man of authority, and yet he credits Jesus with the same. He realizes that there's great authority in Jesus. If he as a man can say to one, go, and he will go, or to another, come, and he comes, or to a servant, do this, and he does it. If this, he, the centurion, as a man, is, if he has that kind of authority, he's seeing that the Lord Jesus had even greater authority. And this is a marvel. It says Jesus himself marveled at this. And he said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, this man was a Roman centurion that had come to him. And here Jesus is saying, there's going to be many that come from all parts of the world, the east and the west. And they're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And yet he says, the children of the kingdom, speaking of his own people, the Israelites, shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so sad, he came unto his own, but they rejected him. They knew him not. But to the centurion, Jesus was able to say in verse 13, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Praise the Lord. See, it was that faith. As he believed in his heart, so it was. God could see that faith in this centurion. And he went on his way, and that servant was healed that selfsame hour. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. That is faith in action. We go over to the 9th chapter of Matthew. I'd like to show you another example of faith. We look at the first verse here, chapter 9. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Very interesting passage. And of course, this is the same story as is told in the other Gospels. We know that those that brought this man to Jesus went through a great deal to bring him to Jesus. The house where Jesus was full, and they couldn't seem to get in, from what the other Gospels share. And you know, they went onto the roof and took off tiles to bring this man down before Jesus. And the thing is, Jesus saw something great. I don't know for sure what the sick man's faith was for sure. It doesn't really declare it. But it tells us he saw their faith. He saw the faith of those that brought him. And he goes on to say, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And of course, this stirs up a hornet's nest when he says this. He didn't say at the first rise, you know, take up thy bed and walk. He didn't say that at the first. The first thing he says here is, thy sins be forgiven thee. And of course, yes, I said, yeah, a hornet's nest was stirred up. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And I think this passage is really an important one in so many ways. Jesus obviously was trying to declare a point beyond the fact that he could heal, and that is that he could forgive sins too. So often I notice that forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. I see that in various places in the scripture. In John, the 5th chapter, we have the story of the impotent man who was by the pool of Bethesda, had been there a long time, 38 years, it tells us. And, you know, many sick, infirm people were around that pool, and, you know, they waited for the troubling of the water when the angel would step into the water, and the first one who would step into that water would be healed of whatever disease they had. But Jesus saw this particular man who'd been there 38 years and went to him and said, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And he tells us immediately that man was made whole. He heard the sayings of Jesus and he was made whole. He took up his bed and walked. And of course, again, you know, so many things that Jesus did stir up the religious people. Oh, yes, because it was the Sabbath day, and oh, my, and then they see this man carrying his bed and walking, and oh, all they could do is criticize and think, now, who would dare do that? And, of course, they go to this man and say, now, who told you to do that? Why are you carrying your bed, so to speak, and all this and that, and he doesn't know a whole lot yet. And all he can say is, well, the man that healed me, you know, he told me to take up my bed and walk. He didn't know who it was, for he tells us in verse 13, Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. But Jesus found that man a little later in the temple, and this is what he said unto him. He said, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Interesting there. You know, he mentions it in a relationship with sin. And sometimes sin does bring about disease and trouble into a person's life. There are consequences to sin. And I find it interesting, if we go to James, the 5th chapter, to note the relationship also there. Just read a certain few passages here. James 5, verse 13, Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Notice how positive that is. You know, he's talking about showing faith. There's something wrong, you're sick, you have a problem. He tells us what to do. He tells us to call for the elders of the church and have them pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And it tells us so clearly. I like this positive phrase here, and the Lord and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And then there's a connection here. It says, And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then it goes on to say in the next verse, Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, praise the Lord. But see the connection here. And the beautiful thing here, it does say, if there's a connection to sin, that it shall be forgiven him. What could be more positive than that? And then even, you know, the need to confess one's faults one to another and pray one for another. Oh, yes, to have that burden that compassion for one another, and of course declaring that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh yes, when the heart is right and we're praying with all diligence, with our very best effort, fervently unto the Lord, the Lord hears it, doesn't he? He does hear it. He says, it availeth much. Oh, yes, it makes much difference. There's power to it. Yes, there's authority with it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. And then it also, another scripture that comes to me in connection with forgiveness and healing is actually Psalms 103, the first three verses there, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And that third verse is, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Again, look how inclusive that is. All thine iniquities. You know, if we come to the Lord in repentance, and we must do that. We must do that. He doesn't forgive just, you know, a couple of our sins. 3/4 of our sins. No, He forgives all our sins, all our iniquities. And praise the Lord for that. And then it declares, who healeth all thy diseases. You know, do we come up with one that's too hard for God? Well, yeah, Lord, you healed me of that, you know, that bad cough. But now, Lord, I've got pneumonia. I'll tell you what, it says He healeth all our diseases. That's what the Word says. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, you see, the wonderful love of the Lord toward His children, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, that's our God, oh, who blesses His people in so many wonderful ways. I know in Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah cried, heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Oh, yes, there's something about it when Jesus, God, lives in the praises of His people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But faith is such a wonderful gift that He gives us so that we can believe Him for even the things that seem impossible. On the other hand, when fear enters in, it paralyzes faith. It paralyzes faith. Going back to the 8th chapter of Matthew again, there's another event that I just like to relate right now. It tells us, if we look at verse 23, and when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But He, meaning Jesus, was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our God. Oh, yes. Nothing stopping Him. It says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Oh, they marveled at that. There was, oh, yes, the one that had created the heavens and the earth, simply telling those winds to be quiet. And praise the Lord, as He rebuked those winds and the sea, there was a great calm, wasn't there? But you see, those disciples that had been with Him and already seen Him do many wonderful works were almost paralyzed At that moment, you know, there they were in that boat. Jesus was there with them, but he was sleeping. But nevertheless, you know, they were very, very worried. Very, very concerned. Yes, that was a great tempest. And it tells us it was so much that even the ship was covered with waves. But yet Jesus was not alarmed. And yet he was going to show, oh, his power in yet another way. Of course, they must have come to him with fear and with terror and, you know, with great worry and concern and, you know, probably shaking him and awakening him as he slept there on that ship. And, you know, figuring that they were perishing. But Jesus, you know, what's the matter? Why are you fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. And praise the Lord. I love how he just reacted, just, you know, simply rebuking those winds and those and that sea. And so it was. There was a great calm. Oh, yes. Everything changes at the rebuke of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And he's given us that kind of authority too. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be paralyzed. I know there are times that, you know, fear tries to enter in and dampen everything that faith tries to do. But praise the Lord, if we can just show faith regardless, oh my, what a difference it can make. Going over to the 14th chapter of Matthew, there's another illustration I want to give here tonight. It tells us here in Matthew 14, verse 22, it was after the feeding of the 5,000, that great and wonderful miracle. It tells us after that, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. Oh yes, even our Savior had the need to pray. And there were times he felt like he had to go and be alone, apart from the others. And so it was. So he sent the disciples on. There he constrained them to get into the ship and go before him. But there was another event that was following. It said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Oh yes, God does allow circumstances to sometimes enter into our lives. Maybe to try our faith. Maybe to prove a point. Maybe to show us greater faith. Oh yes, so that we have examples. Oh yes, to bring us on to a higher place in the Lord. So here it is. They were in the ship. In the midst of the sea. In the middle of the ocean. Well, it wasn't quite the ocean, but it was the sea. And they were tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Tells us, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Oh yes, it was about 6 a.m. in the morning, so to speak, or just as I suppose the sun was perhaps arising or soon to. Here it is, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. See, again, paralyzed by fear, not knowing what to think. Jesus is walking on the water. And they think it's a spirit. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, that's our Lord always comforting us, always reassuring us, always speaking peace to us. And praise the Lord, Peter had a burst of faith come upon him, obviously, here. It says in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Oh, yes, who could walk on the water? I don't think any of us could do that unless the Lord gave us supernatural power to do so. But here's Peter, yes, obviously, faith entering into his mind and just, you know, this great boldness. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I want to walk on the water. I want to do that. Lord, if you could do that, I want to do that. And Jesus understood. He said, come, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, can't you just see him climbing out of the ship? I was going to go walk on the water. Oh boy, I think I had a burst of light, of faith to go down the slide the other Sunday with Carl. It was high. I hadn't done that for a long time. I didn't climb up those rungs up to the high tower. I did have to take a deep breath. But here's Peter. He's climbing out of the ship. He's going to walk on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He was doing it. He was walking on the water. But all at once, something happened. And I wonder how often this happens. I wonder how often the Lord begins to do a work in individuals' lives. And all at once, you know, it starts to happen. Maybe that healing that one has prayed for a long time. And you can just, you begin to feel, you know, all the barriers going and, you know, the health returning and all this and that. But Peter, as he was walking on the water to go to Jesus, saw something. Suddenly, obviously, his eyes left Jesus. He wasn't looking at Jesus at that moment. And all at once, he must have been looking down because he could see the wind, boisterous. Oh, a boisterous wind. And as tells us, he was afraid. Yeah, I mean, we know. Yeah, it tells us already, you know, earlier that, you know, that ship was being tossed with waves. And yet, you know, Peter is walking on that. Except until he looks down. He sees the wind boisterous. And it says he was afraid. He was afraid. Oh, yes, how fear can paralyze us. And he was beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Of course, our gracious Lord, it says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Oh my, how many times has our faith been hindered? God was beginning to do something mightily in our lives. I've known people, you could tell, you know, they're seeking for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know, you can feel the presence of the Lord. And you know that the Lord is there. And, you know, it could just happen. Could just happen. But sometimes the eyes look on the natural side of things. Sometimes faith begins to waver. Sometimes people give heed to unbelief and it sets in and all at once there's a hindrance. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. That isn't possible. Oh my, that natural man that sneaks up on us and hinders our faith. And so it happened to Peter. But praise the Lord, it tells us Jesus in his mercy reached out, stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. All the wonderful things that Jesus did. Oh, yes, to give us faith, to give us hope. Oh, what a wonderful God that we serve. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. So often faith is tried. But praise the Lord, there is a faith that pleases God, that comes from God. And if we go to Psalm 77, it's a psalm of Asaph. We're going to see another example. Oh, yes, where a person was being afflicted in turmoil, in distress. And it tells us in verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Oh, yes, there was a great affliction here. This individual was going through a great trouble. There's a sore, an issue that was coming from his body running in the night and just not stopping. I think I went through something like that one time for several months where I had a burn on my knee and it began to fester. It not only became a burn, but my whole knee area there swelled and this poisonous venom, that whatever it was afflicting me, showed itself in a very nasty way. And perhaps this was something like that. This individual, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. It was so disturbing. He couldn't see the comfort. He was, you know, completely restless and just laying there, not able to sleep, I suppose, because of the affliction. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Oh, yes. Some negative reactions resulting. No faith. Beholdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Oh, not a good way to be. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Oh, thinking back of the good old days when everything was fine. But then I call to remembrance my song in the night. Oh, he began to think about the good things of God. He began to ask some questions here. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And sometimes it's so needful to, you know, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts. You know, there's a time when we need to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. But so it was, he began to commune with his own heart, and his spirit made diligent search. And he's asking questions. It seems like this distress is endless. This affliction is endless. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Are there no answers? Will I never have favor again? Where's God? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Oh yes, there was great distress of soul. And the questions that pondered his heart and the anguish and all the distress. You could just feel it here in this psalm. But faith began to enter in, I do believe. Oh, he began to remember the good things of God and the ability of God, the promises of God. And he said there in verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of thy right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Yes, things begin to change when we begin to show faith. When faith rises to the heart and all at once we can remember how God has helped us in the past. And we can remember his wonderful works. We begin to meditate on them. Oh yes, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Oh yes. And yes, this writer, Asaph, begins to talk about the wonders of God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Yes, and as he begins to talk, he's building faith. He's building hope within him. It's rising in his being. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Yes, talking about the past victories, reminding himself, bringing them to recall. Oh yes, the waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Oh, God's tremendous power. Oh, nothing too hard for the Lord. God can do everything and anything. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Yes, his ways are past finding out. There is none like our God. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Oh, yes, the great wonders of God, the great victories of the past. And I dare say that that affliction was soon to leave. Oh, yes, because something happens when we can lift up faith, when we can show faith, when we can have that kind of faith that pleases God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we know that it's God who puts it in our hearts, that hope, that trust in Him, those reassurances. Oh, yes, those reassurances in His precious promises. Not one of His good promises have failed. You know, they could say that after years and years. Joshua, the son of Nun. Yes, they could say that. Not one of your good promises have failed. Oh God, you've always been with us. You've always been our help in the time of need. We've always been able to cry out to you. You have answers. Oh yes, thou art a wonderful God. Oh yes, that healeth all our diseases and forgiveth all our iniquities. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we know that we have this privilege of hearing God's word. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, that wonderful faith that rises in our hearts so that we can please God, so that we can see miracles. Oh, that our faith can grow. Oh, yes, and if we ever needed faith, we need it now. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what storms are brewing out there. But are we going to have faith in God, or are we going to sink? We've got to learn to show faith. We've got to learn to rely on Him now, because who knows what's ahead. And by little, our faith can grow. Oh yes, maybe by leaps and bounds, as oh yes, our confidence in our mighty God begins to grow. And thank God for it. Oh yes, it was faith that brought Abraham out of Ur of Chaldea. That was faith. It was faith that hope that helped him to trust in the promises of God. You know, Romans, the fourth chapter, talks about Abraham and Sarah's faith just a little bit, going into a portion of this chapter here. We look at Romans, the fourth chapter, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believeth in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I mean, some of this seemed a little bit ridiculous on the surface, that Abraham was going to be a father of many nations. He didn't have any children. How could this be? He was an old man. How could this be? But yet, Abraham had faith. He became the father of the faithful because there was something in his heart who had hope, believed in hope against what, you know, seemed possible. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Yes, God had made a promise. And God's promises are sure, if we can only believe. It tells us in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And I like how it's expressed here in verse 20. This seemed ridiculous that they were yet going to have a child. Sarah being 90, Abraham being 100. But yet it says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't stagger at it. He didn't laugh at it. He didn't mock. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oh, yes, I know you, Lord. I know that if you said something, you're going to do it. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Oh, yes, he had confidence in his God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord, God put that within him, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. And it says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, if we could only have faith in the promises of God. Oh, yes, because in spite of what it looks like in this world, in spite of the things that are coming on the horizon here, oh, yes, and all the ridiculousness of what we see and the horrors of it, really, if you want to meditate on it. Yet, if we can only just know our God, oh, we could just hold on to faith. If we can just have that faith that our forefathers had, oh, yes, because as we know, as it tells us there in Hebrews 11, verse 6, for without faith it's impossible to please God. You know? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh yes, that is what kept those people of old going towards God. It was that faith that God put in their hearts, that they might believe him in spite of how stormy the sea was, how contrary the waves were, how wild the wilderness was. Oh yes, how impossible it seemed on the surface, yet those that overcame had faith. They had a faith that pleased God, a faith that went forward even when it looked impossible to men, in spite of discouragement, in spite of hindrances, in spite of all the naysayers, all the scoffers, and you know, saying, he's not going to come back. Why, that's been talked about for years and years. Those scoffers, well, yes, we're told that in the end times there would be scoffers coming after their own lust and saying, where is that promise? You know, for all things are, you know, they continue as they were from the beginning of the world. But our Lord is going to come. He's going to come and save us. He's going to come and reward us. Oh, yes, for those that endure until the end. Oh, yes, we are going to inherit all things. And these are the promises of God. Those are the things that he put in our heart. Those are written in his word. And we can claim those. If we are his children, we can claim the promises of God. Oh yes, if you have not yet received the Holy Ghost, you can claim that promise. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Yes, that is a promise of God, and you can claim it. Praise the Lord. But for sure, there's one thing we don't want to do. We don't want to cast off that confidence that the Lord has given us. As it tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Oh yes, he's coming quickly as a thief in the night. Unannounced, he's going to come, sure as I'm standing here. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, praise the Lord. He's put faith in our hearts. Faith that we're here tonight. Faith that you're listening online. He's put that faith in your heart. Don't ever give it up. Don't ever let it go. Don't ever cast it away, because it has great recompense of reward. That faith, oh God, is going to bring us eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's going to bring us to heaven. Oh God, it's a wonderful thing. It's going to bring us to that place where we're going to see our Lord face to face and dwell with Him for all eternity. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That faith that He puts in our heart. That faith that pleases God. Don't ever give it up. Don't ever despise it. Don't ever let it go. Oh, praise the Lord, for it hath great recompense of reward. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God. Oh, we thank you for the faith that you put in our hearts, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us to stand in thy promises. Oh, God, help us to stand fast, oh, Lord. For, oh, God, they are true if we could only believe you, Jesus. Oh, God, and I just pray, oh, God, that you'd keep us. Oh, Lord, that you'd keep us, oh, Lord, for we have to have faith, oh, God, to endure until the end. Oh, Lord, but we're believing you, God. We're trusting you, God. And I pray, oh, God, that you help each and every one of us to never let it go. Oh, God, to draw nigh unto you with all our hearts, to believe you with all our soul, to have that saving faith. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But praise the Lord, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of our souls. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to sing number 105 in the chorus book, Only Believe. Only believe.
Thank you. Thank you.